The Dolphins need only concern themselves with the 4-9 Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. The 3-10 Jets must gulp contend with the 13-0 Patriots, who are already mad at the Jets for ratting out the Pats when they illegally filmed New York at play earlier this season. Only a game's Gabe O'Connor puts tomorrow's game in historical perspective.
Some historians say the typical Aztec human sacrifice ritual would start with the victim being led to a stone slab on top of a temple. Four priests would hold him down while a fifth would cut out the heart and place it, still beating, in a bowl next to the statue of the god being honored. Afterwards, the body would be thrown down the temple stairs and later fed to zoo animals. That's about what most observers think will happen to the New York Jets when they visit the New England Patriots tomorrow. Pats coach Bill Belichick clearly relishes his role as the angry Aztec war god, Huitzilopochtli.
It's a division game. They know us well. We know them well. And, you know, we're just going to try to do what we always do, which is win. You know, everything that's in the past is in the past. Everything that's in the future doesn't really matter. Right now, it's a one-game season. We're focused on the New York Jets.
Okay, so Belichick is not that threatening. Although you can't rule anything out during the post-game handshake with Jets head coach and former protege Eric Mangini. But the 3-10 Jets are very, very bad, and the undefeated Patriots are very, very good. Since the Cameragate story broke after the Patriots' Week 1 rout of the Jets, the Pats have destroyed most of their opponents with what may be the best offense in NFL history. New England fans like Craig Kaplan have pointed to this week's rematch as a candidate for the biggest rout the league has ever seen.
Let's just say 70-0. How's that? I think they're just going to walk up and down the field for the entire game. I don't even think it's... I'll see the highlights. That's all I really need to see.
A 70-point victory would still be 3 points shy of the record. That was set in the 1940 NFL championship game in which the Chicago Bears brutalized the Washington Redskins 73-0. The two teams met 3 weeks earlier, and Washington won a controversial game. The Bears complained, and Redskins owner George Marshall called the Bears a bunch of crybabies and frontrunners. BearsHistory.com founder Roy Taylor says Chicago coach George Halas used the insults to rally his team.
It was ugly. It was bad for the Redskins. The Bears scored the first minute into the game, and it got so bad at the end of the game with the Bears up 63-0. They were actually asked not to kick any more extra points because they had lost all the game balls. There was only one ball left that hadn't been kicked into the stands.
Halas obviously had no problem with running up the score that day, but Taylor says the need to embarrass wasn't usually a top priority for Halas or any of his contemporaries.
You know, Halas and Marshall, they were founding owners of NFL teams, so obviously they had a strong relationship. You know, there might have been more of a gentlemanly aspect to the game, both at the owner's level and the player's level in 1940 than there is now. I'd say there's probably a little more bad blood between the Jets and the Patriots right now than there was between the Bears and the Redskins.
73-0 is bad, but some of the blowouts seen in the annals of college football have been much worse. The game between Georgia Tech and tiny Cumberland College in 1916 was never in doubt and ugly from the opening kickoff. Cumberland historian Dr. Frank Burns says the team had disbanded after four games in 1916, and the Tech game wouldn't have happened at all if it weren't for a cash guarantee and an enterprising team manager.
The week before, they had played Sewanee, which is the University of the South, and they had lost to Sewanee 100-0. So they weren't going to go down to Atlanta until they found out they'd have to pay $1,500 forfeit if they didn't. George Allen, who was a law student, he went down to fraternity house and he said, "Hey, how many of you want to go play football?"
14 Cumberland players did and headed to Atlanta to face a Georgia Tech squad coached by John Heisman, who would later have some obscure football trophy named after him. The score was 63-0 after the first quarter and 126-0 at the half. Cumberland gained minus 28 yards for the entire game, and Tech scored 12 defensive touchdowns. Quarterback Bud Patey had a horrible day with 6 interceptions, but during at least one fumble, he had the right idea.
He was the quarterback, and they snapped the ball, and it went past him, and the other back dropped it. The other back said to Patey, "Pick it up, pick it up," and Patey said, "Pick it up yourself, you dropped it."
Georgia Tech eased up in the second half, scoring only 96 points and cruising to a 222-point win. If the second half hadn't been cut short 15 minutes, things could have really gotten out of hand. Strangely enough, Burns says Cumberland has embraced its role as the school that lost a football game by over 200 points.
"Well, you can't fight it. You might as well get something out of it. So we began circulating stories to newspapers about it, we've got to be kind of sort of proud of having lost 222-0. Nobody else could claim that. It was unique.
Maybe Eric Mangini can find some solace in that if the Patriots do set a record tomorrow. Someone had to ensure the plague of fire would not return to the Aztec Village, just like someone has to be the recipient of the worst loss in NFL history. Perhaps in 90 years, the Jets will be weirdly proud of that. For Only a Game, I'm Gabe O'Connor in Tenochtitlan. I mean, Boston.
You're listening to Only a Game.